Returning, amen, with her. We're excited, amen, about her being with us, amen. We want to make sure we welcome her as well, amen. Hallelujah. God is good and he is worthy of our praise. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. When you have it, would you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I might have asked you that already, but it's okay. I'm getting old. It's okay. Amen. God is good. Amen. Getting old is a good thing. Especially when you consider the alternative. Amen. So stop complaining about getting old. It's not that bad. Hallelujah. It could be worse. We thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. Listen, the scripture says in verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in the time of trouble. So I will not fear when the earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble and the waters surge. God is our refuge and our strength, always ready to help in the time of trouble. So I will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and let them foam. Let the mountains tremble and the waters surge. God is our refuge and our strength. The scripture says in King James, a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen. God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in the time of trouble or in the time of need. Amen. For a little while, we're going to use and borrow. Amen. Verse 1. Amen. God is our refuge. Amen. God is our refuge. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. God is our refuge, amen. We thank God for being our refuge, amen. Now, this song was likely written in the time of 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19. It was also written. 2 Kings chapter 18 and 19, it's about a king that ruled Israel whose name was Hezekiah. According to the scripture, King Hezekiah was a good king. The scripture says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. It also says, it goes on to say that he remained faithful to the Lord. And he trusted God all the days of his life. The 14th year, the scripture talks about how the 14th year of his reign, how one of his enemies, the Assyrian king, came up against him and attacked and conquered the northern kingdom of Israel. And then he threatened to also conquer the southern kingdom as well. But King Hezekiah told the people of Israel not to worry because he trusted God, amen, to work it out for them. He told them not to fear, not to doubt, not to worry, because he trusted God, amen, to protect them from all the threats of the Assyrian king. In the meantime, King Hezekiah tried to make peace with the Assyrians because at first he did not want to pay, amen, what they demanded that he pay. But then he said, listen, I made a mistake and I will pay what you want. He ended up giving them 11 tons of silver and 1 ton of gold. And although he tried to make peace with these people, they still wanted to taunt them and to threaten them. They said things like, what are you trusting in that makes you so confident? They said, do you think that mere words can substitute for military power? Do you think that what you're saying out of your mouth, that the faith that you're spewing can to protect you against our military might? They said things, perhaps you will say to me, we're trusting in the Lord our God. Have any other gods of any other nation ever saved their people from the king of Assyria? Do you know who you're coming up against? I'm the king of Assyria. Amen. I'm the king of Assyria, and you're going to tell me that God's going to protect you? Have any other gods in any other nations protected them? What happened to the gods of Hamath and Arpad? And what about the gods of, I can't even pronounce that, I'm not even going to try, Hena and Iva? Did any god rescue the Samaria from our power? What god of any nation has ever been able to save this people from my power? I'm the king of Assyria. So what makes you think that your Lord, your God, can rescue you from me? You see, these Assyrians, this Assyrian king, and the Assyrians had got arrogant because they had been successful at conquering other nations. They had been successful at defeating other people. They had been successful so far at defeating their other enemies that they came up against. They felt invincible, like even God himself couldn't defeat them, like even God himself couldn't stop them. And they laughed at the Israelites because they believed God. They laughed at the Israelites because of their faith in the Lord. And like the children of Israel, sometimes life will laugh at you, amen, because of your faith. Sometimes, amen, like the children of Israel, it will seem as if God is on your enemy's side. It would seem as if God, amen, is favoring them because you feel defenseless against their attacks against you. Sometimes it will seem as if you are all alone in this battle called life. Sometimes life will test you. Sometimes life will taunt you, amen, like the Assyrians taunted the Israelites. It will taunt you because you believe God. It will taunt you because you have faith. It will taunt you because you say, I will not fear, I will believe. I will not stress, I will not worry, I will not complain, I will trust. And life will taunt you, amen. People in your life sometimes will taunt you. Sometimes life, because of their taunts, it will cause you to doubt yourself. It will cause you to second guess, amen, your belief. Am I crazy? Should I believe this? Should I be doing this? Sometimes life will challenge everything you believe. It will make you question your reliance on God. Sometimes life will appeal to your common sense rather than your faith. Now, we all have common sense. Well, some of us. Most of us, I would say. Amen. Have common sense. But don't allow, amen, your common sense to downplay your faith. Don't allow, amen, your common sense to tell you that your faith is pointless. Don't allow people who don't have faith to taunt you for your faith. Amen. Don't allow people who don't have faith to talk you out of your faith. What do you do when you're afraid? What do you do when you're distraught? What do you do when you feel threatened? What do you do when you're taunted by your enemies and you're taunted by the troubles of life? What do you do when life seems to be spinning out of control? What do you do when your enemy, it seems like, is winning the battle? What do you do when you don't know, amen, how, you don't have an answer, or you don't have the choice but to trust God? All you have is your faith. All you have is your belief. All you have is your confidence that God will work it out. You have no evidence, amen. The only evidence you have is your faith in God. What do you do? What do you do? They led you off, and they're not calling you back. What do you do, amen, when they shorted your check, amen, and your check is not going to be enough to pay and cover your bills? What do you do, amen, when they demoted you or move your company out of state or overseas? What do you do? What do you do when life happens? We should do what the king did. King Hezekiah, amen, the scripture says he sought the Lord. He made that a practice, amen, no matter what he faced. He always sought the Lord. King Hezekiah began praying and asking God for direction. You see, he was concerned, man, about the Syrian threats. He was concerned because of what they said. He was concerned. It troubled him when he heard the news that they were going to come against him and attack the southern kingdom. I mean, they had already gotten the northern, but they were going to come and attack the southern as well. That troubled him. It bothered him. But instead of panicking, he went right to the Lord. Amen. He was concerned, amen, but the scripture says what he did, what his concern was, he turned around and prayed. He was concerned by their threats, amen, but instead of panicking, he prayed. He was concerned by their threats, but instead of stressing out, he prayed. He didn't walk the floor. He didn't worry. Instead of complaining and wondering what's going to happen, he was worried to a point. He was concerned to a degree, amen, but he took his worries and his concerns to the Lord. We need to learn to take our worries and concerns to the Lord and leave them there. It's so important for us, amen. You're going to sometimes experience things that make you worry. It's important to understand that sometimes in life, I know we're saved and we gave our life to Jesus Christ, but just because we gave our life to Jesus Christ doesn't mean all our problems are going to go away. Doesn't mean that life will now, from that point on in your life, will be perfect and nothing will happen to you bad. All it means is a test of your constant test and challenge. What are you going to do when challenges come? Are you going to respond how you used to respond before you came to the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Or are you going to continue to trust in God? How? What are you going to do? And we have to understand that life sometimes will happen to all of us. Not sometimes. Every time will happen to all of us. What are you going to do when life happens? We should be like the king. Yes, sometimes we will be concerned and sometimes things will worry us and stress us. But you have to understand, I don't have to stay in that state. I can take my worry to the Lord. I can take my stress, my concern to the Lord. You see, although you're stressed, make sure you pray. Although you're worried, you can make sure you pray. Although you're fearful, and make sure you seek God. Although, amen, the news that you heard made you anxious, make sure you seek the Lord. Although you're concerned, you can still make sure you pray. Hallelujah. You see, God has an answer, but you got to seek him to find it. Oh, that's a good one right there. You ought to write that down. Amen.
God has an answer. He has an answer for your situation. Amen. Help us become more aware of your presence. You see, God is with you even in your troubles. He's with you even in your difficulty. He's with you. Amen. He's saying something. He has a reason why you're going through what you're going through. But if you are only concerned and only focused on what you're going through, you'll miss what he's saying. Let us become more aware of what you're saying. I was at a service last week and they said, Lord, I want to be where you are. I want to be where you are. They kept saying it over and over, and I began to worship God and I began to allow him to speak to my spirit. And so he said, sometimes the valley is where I am. Sometimes trouble is where I am. Sometimes what I'm going through is where I am. I'm speaking to you. I'm growing you. I'm elevating you right where you are. And sometimes if you want to be where I am, amen, stop complaining about where you are in your life, amen, and just enjoy the ride. And I'll teach you something. I'll teach you something. Sometimes the struggle is where he is because he wants to show us. We have to understand, listen, amen, life will not always be peachy king, and we have to stop trying to make it that way. Sometimes we have to enjoy even the troubles of our lives because there's a purpose behind everything that we face. And Lord, I want to be where you are.
And so, King Hezekiah, he was concerned, but he prayed. He has an answer, but we have to seek him in order to find the answer. King Hezekiah sought the Lord because he realized he was powerless without God. In the same way, we must realize that we are powerless without God. We must stop trying to do things in our own power because we are powerless without God. We must stop trying to make things happen outside of the will of God with the things of the world, relying on the things of the world, because the things of the world are powerless because they are without God. So the Assyrian king threatened these Israelites. He thought that God was no match for his Assyrian army, but he didn't realize who he was going up against. You see, every time you oppose God, you're fighting a losing battle. I'm going to say that again. That's worth writing down. Amen. Write that on your forehead. Every time, amen, you oppose God, you're fighting a losing battle. Every time you go against what he declares, you're fighting a losing battle. You're wasting more time. Amen. You're digging more holes for yourself. You're making it harder for your destiny. Amen. You're making the procrastination longer, the destiny longer. You have to realize every time you go against God, you're fighting a losing battle. The king found this out the hard way. He was fighting a losing battle. He continued to threaten the Israelites. He continued to threaten them. But he could never have a chance. He would never have a chance to carry out his threats because he was killed by his own two sons. The Israelites didn't even have to fight. You see, they was threatened by the Assyrian king. They was threatened by this guy who said he was going to do this and do that to them. And they didn't even have to fight. His own sons killed him. You see, what kind of God do we serve? Amen. And if you trust in him, amen, you won't even have to be fazed by what's happening. You can just walk upright and know that God will work it all out. Amen. He will take care of everything else. Amen. You don't even got to engage. You don't even have to respond. Amen. And God will work it out. Yes. You see, these Assyrians, amen, they threatened the Israelites. And before they could carry out their threat, the Assyrian king was killed by his own sons. Don't ever go against the Lord your God. As we look at the text, the scripture says, God is our refuge and our strength. Now, a refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. Again, a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. Amen. A refuge, a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. The text shows us that the king Hezekiah knew the Lord as his refuge. He knew the Lord as his safe place. He knew the Lord as his shelter. In the time of trouble, he could rely on God. Amen. In a time of need, he could rely on the Lord. While he was going through what he was going through with the Assyrians, he knew he could rely on the Lord. Do you know God like that? You see, God wants to be your refuge in the time of trouble. God wants to be your safe place, amen, in the time of need. God wants to be your shelter in the time of storm. God wants to be your peace in the midst of chaos. He wants to be your faith in the midst of your fear. He wants to be your assurance in the midst of your doubt. God wants to be your confidence in the midst of your uncertainty. He wants to be your sureness in the midst of your hesitation. Yes. But many times we view God and the things of God as inadequate or old-fashioned. Amen. I know we in church, we got to pretend like we trust God all the time, but many times in our approach to God, we view it as inadequate and old-fashioned. But you'll never know how powerful the things of God are until you have to use them. Amen. You'll never realize how powerful the things of God are until that's all you have to use. Amen. You pray, but you know in the back of your head, I got a savings account to back it up a little bit. You pray, amen. You trust God, but you know, well, I'm going to do this or do that, amen, to help God out, amen, if you will. Amen. You pray, amen, and you trust the Lord, but you have a plan B. Amen. When you have no plan B, you'll realize how powerful prayer only is. When you have nothing else but your prayer, when you have nothing else but your confidence, you have nothing else but your trust in God, you understand and realize and know, listen, plan B didn't work out. I have no plan B. Amen. I have no plan C. I have nothing else but only my faith.
Yes.
You understand how powerful it really is. Yes. You see, we don't have to help God. He don't need your help.
Amen.
Come on, Sarah. He don't need your help. Come on. He don't need our help. All he needs is a willing vessel. All he needs is somebody who will surrender. Amen. And he will do it all if you just trust him. You'll never know how powerful the things of God are until you use them in the way they should be used. You see, of course, God seems inadequate when he only hears from you if you need something. He only hears from you when you're in trouble. Of course he seems inadequate. You don't call on him no other time. You don't seek him no other time. You don't worship him in spirit and in truth for all that he's done. Amen. You live your life and then when you get in trouble, you call on God. I need you to help me get me out of this. I need you to help me get me out of this one more time. I promise if you do it, I'll do this. I'll do that. We say all these things. And God seems inadequate, amen, because sometimes God places us in trouble and we don't have the wisdom, the knowledge, and the foresight and the word of, from the word of God because we're so disconnected from the word. We're just living our lives, just doing us. Our information comes from CNN. Our information comes from the evening news. Our information comes from our Facebook and Instagram scrolls and posts. That's where we get our information from, and that's how we learn how to respond in crises. But this Facebook generation and this CNN generation, amen, is missing out on the word of God, the presence, the power of God. We have to understand, listen, amen, it's not all about, amen, the thing that we see. It's what God has said and declared. You'll miss what God is saying because you're so overwhelmed by your troubles. Don't be overwhelmed by your troubles. Seek the Lord and see what God has to say about what you're going through because he has something to say, but you got to seek him. Of course, God seems old-fashioned. The last time you heard from him was years ago, sincerely. The last time he heard from you sincerely was years ago. God will never satisfy you if sin is what you really want. And sin will never satisfy you if God is what you really want. Come on now, that's worth writing down. That's good. Sin will never satisfy you if God is what you really want, and God will never satisfy you. It's sin that's what you really want. You'll never be satisfied, God. You'll never be satisfied with church. You'll never be satisfied doing his will because sin is what you really want.
Yes.
I really want to be out there with my boot coming up, but he won't call me back. I really want to be, amen, doing this, doing that. Come on. But it's not easy for me to do. And so we have to realize, amen, in order for us to enjoy God the way we should supposed to enjoy God, we have to stop desiring sin more than God.
Amen.
Just because you gave your life to God don't mean you're going to stop desiring sin. But you have to realize, I might desire it, but I want him more.
Amen. Amen.
I might want it, amen, I might want to go astray, but I want God more. And I'm going to seek him no matter what. I'm going to give my all to him no matter what. Why? Because I want him more than my past life. We must get to the point where we become desperate for him. We must get to the point, amen, that things of the world no longer satisfy us. We must get to the word point where God is enough. If my boo never called me back, God is enough. Amen. If I never get the job, amen, the things of God are enough. If I never get promoted like I think I deserve, my prayer life is enough. If I never get the raise, amen, that I know I deserve because I earned it, amen, my study of the word of God is enough. Amen. Coming to church is enough. If I never get my healing, my worship to him, amen, and my satisfaction, amen, in him is not predicated upon what I receive. It's all about what he has been to me and what he has already given me. You see, God was enough for King Hezekiah. The Assyrian army had a lot of weapons to use against the Israelites. But the king's weapon was prayer. Amen. I like that because, amen, he could have fought the battle, amen, like they was going to fight. He could have had words, amen. Like, if, can you imagine Donald Trump being threatened by another country? What he would say? I got a beer button. I got a beer this. I got a beer that. He getting threatened. He's not going to pray. He's going to lie. You want to come against the U.S.? But this king, he was humble. He prayed. He said nothing to those guys. He didn't even respond. Amen. And God fought his battle for him. You see, he was concerned, but although he was concerned, he prayed, and God fought the battle for him. He didn't even have to fight. You see, his weapon, amen, was not words. You see, when we get into a battle with people, we always got something to say back. Don't come against me. You don't know who you're talking to. Somebody say something you don't like, you quick to respond and let them know you don't talk to me like that. How was at the barbershop yesterday? And I always go when I go, because you know at the barbershop you like the beauty salon. Not quite like the beauty salon, but a little like the beauty salon. You have to wait. I always bring my laptop because I know I'm going to have to wait. My barber is an older guy, so he takes as long, he takes his time. I mean, he does a good job. He, as you can see, I always look fresh. He does a good job. So I'm patient with him. I'm cool with it. I go back there, take my laptop. He got a little room with a TV. It's, I guess his son or something back there, 3 years old. Same age as my daughter, Micah. And I get back there, I sit down, working on my computer, minding my own business. And this little boy turned around. He said, can you get out of here? I'm trying to watch TV. I had to remember I was saved. Amen. I said, who are you talking to? He said, I'm talking to you. I said, don't talk to me like that. And he said, can you shut up for 300 years? I said, little boy, you really don't want to do that. Little boy. Amen. I was quick to let him know. I'm talking. Who do you think you are? I got mad. I don't know what to. I had to remember he was only 3. Amen. He needs some guidance and direction. But I was so upset. I was so mad. Ooh, I was mad. I had to calm myself down. Amen, real quick. Because I was about to. But God. Even me, I was quick to let him know, listen, you don't play with me. Who you think you know who I am? You for love. Don't mess with me, boy. Don't mess with me. Please don't do it. You not, this is not what you want, little boy. This is not what you want. Don't tell me. Well, when my mom's boyfriend get out of jail, he gonna beat you up. And I said, listen, I'm not scared of him or you, boy. Sit down and shut up somewhere. Even me, I let him know he don't play with me. He don't mess with me. Got a response. Every time something happens, that's funny. I thought that was funny. I had to share with you. We have a response. We have something to say. But we don't have to fight our own battles. All we have to do is trust in the Lord. And God will fight our battles for us. And so we have to understand, like the king, we need to get like the king, Hezekiah. He prayed and God fought his battles for him. And life has many weapons. Amen. Life has many things that come against us, and life has many things that challenge us, and life has many weapons. Amen. But instead of using your weapons that are carnal, amen, telling the little boy what you would do to him, telling these little things, amen, saying all these things, amen, our weapons should be prayer. Amen. Life has weapons, but our weapon of choice should be worship. Amen. Life has things that comes against you. Amen. But I'm not going to fight like the world fights. I'm not going to fight how I used to fight. I'm going to fight in the worship of God's word in my study. Amen. I'm going to fight, amen, with trust in God. I'm going to fight believing. I'm going to fight with faith. That's my weapon of choice. Amen. Life has weapons, but King Hezekiah, his weapon was prayer. Amen. And his weapon worked way better than their knives. His weapon worked way better than their military power. His weapon worked way better than all the things that they were going to come against him with. His weapon worked. Prayer works, but you got to use it correctly. Worship works, amen, but you got to use it correctly. Amen. Don't use it for your own benefit. Use it to worship him for who you really are. Use it to communicate with him and ask him for direction for your life. That's what we use it for. It's not for your benefit per se.
you benefit from it, but it's all about using it the right way. And if you use it the right way, it works much better than the carnal weapons that we're used to using. Amen. And so, King Hezekiah,
that was funny to me, man. Wow.
He had weapons, not like carnal weapons that the Assyrians wanted to had in mind. His weapon was prayer. You see, you must declare that you will praise the Lord no matter what you go through, realizing that he is our refuge. God is our refuge and our strength. Very present help in the time of trouble. You see, when God is not your refuge, he doesn't seem like a present help. When he's not your refuge, he doesn't seem like he's close, he's near. When he is not your refuge, he seems distant. When he is not your refuge, he seems far away. When God is not your refuge, he seems out of reach. When God is not your refuge, when trouble comes, he's an afterthought. When he is not your refuge, he doesn't feel, amen, very close behind near. Amen. When he is not your refuge, he takes too long, but the sin is present. Amen. When he is not your refuge, amen, God takes too long, amen, but this weed, oh, that's present. Amen. I can get that right now to help ease my mind of my problems. You see, when God is not your refuge, that bottle will be, amen, a present help. Amen. When he is not your refuge, amen, God will take too long, but this man is right here. And oh, he loved me like my father never loved me. When God is not your refuge, amen, he'll take too long, but this woman, she right here, and she is so fine. But we have to realize, amen, that sin is only a temporary retreat. We have to understand that weed is only a temporary retreat. Oh, because when you come up that high, oh, your problem's going to be facing you and knocking on your door and waiting on you. Amen. We have to understand that that alcohol bottle is only a temporary retreat, because those things will give us different types of problems. We have to understand that that woman is only a temporary retreat. Trust me, she's going to start getting on your last nerves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You have to understand that that man is only a temporary retreat. He's going to start doing dumb stuff eventually. Amen. He's going to stop. He don't have to. He don't have a choice. He's a man. He's a man. That's what men do. And women, get on your nerves. Amen. We must stop relying on the things of the world. Amen. For our retreats. Amen. Because they're only temporary. They're only temporary. We must realize, amen, that these things only last for a little while. But trust me and understand that when the high is over, amen, when you come down, your problems will be right there. But when God is your refuge, he will be an eternal retreat. The things of this world will never satisfy you like God will. We must begin to rely on him more than we rely on material possessions, more than we rely on our money, more than we rely, amen, on acceptance of others. We must rely on him, amen, more than whatever worries us, whatever troubles us. We must rely on him more than whatever is bothering us, whatever depresses us. Let God be your refuge. Let him be your shelter. Let God be your getaway. Let him be your hiding place. Let God be your present help in the time of storm. Let him be, amen, what those drugs couldn't be. Let him be what that man can't be. Let him be what that woman will never be. Let God be, amen, your refuge. Let God be your strength and present help in the time of storm. Hallelujah. As I get ready to close, verse 2 and 3 says, "So I will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and let the oceans foam. Let the mountains tremble and the waters surge." In other words, because I know that God is my refuge, I will not fear. Amen. Because I know God is my refuge, I will not worry, doubt, or stress. Because I know God is my refuge. Amen. Even when natural disasters come, I still won't fear. I know God as my refuge because I know him that way. Even when earthquakes come, I still won't fear. Because I know God as my refuge. Even when the mountains crumble into the sea, I still won't fear. Amen. Because I know that God is my refuge. Even when oceans roar, amen, and they roar and it seems dangerous, amen, it seems like, amen, it's going to come after me, amen, I still won't fear. Amen. Even though the Assyrian army comes against me, because God is my refuge, I won't fear. Even when the Assyrian king threatens me time after time, over and over again, and he tells me what he can do to me, and he tells me what he did to other nations, and he tells me what he already did to my northern kingdom. I still won't fear, because I know God is my refuge. Even when natural disasters come my way, I still won't fear. Even when other nations come against me, because I know God as my refuge, I still won't fear. I won't be removed by fear. I won't be moved by stress. I won't be moved by worry. Why? Because I know that God is my refuge. Present help. In the time of storm. What could they do to me that God couldn't protect me from? What could happen to me that God didn't allow? What could happen, amen, that God wasn't aware of? You see, let them come against me. Amen. Let the oceans roar. Amen. Let the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the earthquakes come. Let natural disasters come my way. Let oceans roar. Let them come against me. Let them threaten me. Let them taunt me. Let that little boy talk to me any kind of way. It really doesn't matter. Why? Because they're going to do what they do. And I'm going to do what I do. Amen. They're going to do what they do. And I'm going to do what I do. Amen. The mountains are going to do what they do. Amen. People are going to do what they do. Amen. Fear is going to do what it does. Amen. Oceans will do what it do. But I'm going to do what I do. You know what I do? Praise is what I do. Trust is what I do. Worship is what I do. Love is what I do. Forgive is what I do. Amen. Faith is what I do. Hope is what I do. Amen. Love, amen, is what I do. I'm going to do what I do. Let them do what they do. Amen. It doesn't matter. It's not going to affect me, because I'm going to continue to do what I do. Hallelujah. I know that God is my refuge. And so nothing can come my way that will harm me to the point of no return. God is with me even through my difficulty. He's with me even through my trouble. He's with me even through my pain. Even through the things that are not pleasurable or desirable, He's there. When He's your refuge, even when life seems to come out of control, you can hide in His presence. His word will remind you that He is your refuge. Even when things don't go your way, when He is your refuge, when you can hide in His presence, and His word will remind you that He is your hiding place. His word will remind you, amen, that He is your safety net. He is your prison help in the time of trouble. Thank God that He is your refuge. Thank God when you're weak, He is your strength. Thank God when it seems that He's far away, He's a prison help. Thank God that when the storm comes, He'll be your shelter. He'll be your umbrella. He'll be the one that protects you against all the things that you face. Amen. Thank God that He is our refuge. Put your hands together in the house of the Lord. And let's give a big refuge. We thank Him for His goodness and for His grace. If you hear me now, you know the gospel message that Jesus came to die for your sins. If you're here today, you never knew that sin was in the time.